I wish sometimes I could preach like a black preacher. I like to hear black preachers preach. They got a touch of God. They just say things and come out with things. And I heard the black preacher say, he done it before, he can do it some more. And I just adopted that as my slogan. I like that. He did it before, he can do it some more. That's not a racist statement when I make that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. When I come, whomsoever you shall approve of your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Keep your Bible open, let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer, then the study from the Word of God today. Father, once again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Lord, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Let me thank you again, Father. You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me by your grace. Call me to preach. Put me in a ministry. And you've kept me there, and you've given me the joy and the victory that I have in knowing and serving you. Father, I pray you help me to be conscious every day of my life. I have multitudes and multitudes and multitudes that have lived and they have never heard the good news of the gospel, the message of the cross. Lord, here in America, many will go to hell. But if they go to hell from this place, they'll go there because they chose to. They'll go over the prayers of the saints, the preaching the scriptures, and Lord, the pleading of the Spirit. They'll go there, Father, in their own stubbornness and rebellious against the opportunity to be saved. But Lord, millions there have never had the privilege to receive or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray you make us conscious of their needs. Do what you want to do. Do what needs to be done. Bless in this hour. Save the lost that's in this place. And bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Please keep your Bible open for the study of the Word of God today. I want to just start by simply saying this. We would be rather foolish to think that the Lord would set up such an institution as a church and not set up a method of financing it. We likewise would be foolish to think that the Lord would set up such a commission as He gave to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and not set up a method of financing how we do that. I suppose I mentioned this here before, but I remember some years ago, I was in Greenwood, Indiana, just out of Indianapolis. And I walked in on Sunday morning. They handed me a bulletin similar to someone that passed me out one this morning. I walked down and I sat over on this side on the front seat. I started reading. And it had the general format most of them have. It had the church address, church name, address, and phone number, pastor's name, phone number, and the schedule of the services. And then it said the record speaks. Well, I'm just reading down the bulletin as you've read yours this morning. And under the record speaks, it says attendance last Sunday. Then ending it a little bit, it said number in Sunday school, number on the buses, number in the worship service. And then, preacher, I could not believe my eyes. In bold type, it said tithes and tips. My first thought was, I wish I'd have thought of that. My second thought was, if I'd have thought of it, I'd probably been too big a coward to put it in print. But I didn't have time to fool with tithes and tips. I just stuck it back in my Bible. I was preaching as I am this morning in 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock service. But I left after lunch that day, coming down Interstate 65 that afternoon. I got to thinking about it. Tithes and tips. Well, being a good independent fundamental judgmental Baptist, I got to decide, do I like it or do I don't? Can I really talk Tennessee language? Am I for it or against it? Yeah. Now, before I get too critical, I need to know, first of all, what's a tip? Well, I couldn't go to Webster's Dictionary. I went to Ballou's. I usually agree with him. Yeah. And Mr. Ballou said that a tip is a small piece of money that you leave lying on the table when you finish your meal just in case somebody's watching. You don't want them to think you're a tightwad. I said, man, that sounds more like a Baptist offering all the time. But you cannot finance the work of God with tipping the offering plate. So I began to look at the Word of God, which I'd already been studying the Word of God on this. But I want to deal for the time this morning on what the Bible teaches about giving. I'll be brief as I possibly can. I'll let you out by 3 o'clock at least. And we'll have time to have supper and get back for 6 o'clock. But I want to just, I will be brief, but I want to just lay out basically what the Bible says. Now, can I say something? Please take me in the context of what I'm saying this morning. My grandfather, on my mother's side, my maternal grandfather, was a Baptist preacher. And many told me, Brother Barry, that I have his mantle. And I kind of like that. I hope it's true. I want to carry it well. I don't want to be ashamed of it when I face him at the judgment seat of Christ. But anyway, he was a preacher, Baptist preacher. My daddy was a Baptist deacon, song leader. My mother sang in the choir and played the music when she needed to and taught Sunday school. And I have a great godly heritage. But I want to make a statement. Right now, this moment, I'm not interested in what Granddaddy believed. I'm not interested in what Daddy believed. I'm not interested in what you believe. I want to know what the Bible says. Brother Barry, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody else say it, but you made the statement a while ago. This has been a motto that has governed my life through the years. Show it to me in the Bible. There's something in me that wants to do it. Show it to me in the Bible. Matter of fact, when I started pastoring 2 or 3 dispensations ago, when I started pastoring way back there when I was 23 years old, as a young preacher, I said to those people, as long as I stay in the Bible, follow me. But if I ever leave the Bible, stay with the Bible. Show it to me in the Bible, and I'll do it. I want to just, most of you know the Scripture, so I like this eyeball contact. You keep looking at me, and I'll keep looking at you. Pretty hard to look at some of you, but I'll keep looking. But I want to just deal what the Bible teaches. Let me say to you, the Scripture teaches 3 types of giving. Number one, the Bible teaches tithing. Number 2, the Bible teaches free will offerings. Number 3, the Bible teaches missions giving. Now, let's just briefly mention the tithe because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it today. I could. But I know all the arguments against tithing. When you've given all your arguments, this Bible still teaches the first 10% of your income does not belong to you. It belongs to God. And God has given us specific instructions in the Word of God what to do with His tithe. Here it is in a nutshell. God said, number 1, separate His from yours. Now, you don't have to come to church and tithe before you spend the other 90%. But in your mind, when you look at that paycheck, it ought to just be an automatic calculation. I made $500, but $50 don't belong to me. First 50, not $50 of the leftover, not 10% of the leftover. The first 10% doesn't belong to God. Said, separate it. Then number 2, God said, bring it. He wanted you there too. Then number 3, God told you where to bring it. He said, bring it to the place which the Lord thy God should choose to place His name there. There's not but one place on planet Earth that God chose to put His name in this dispensation of the church. And that's the local church. When I started the Harvest Time broadcast, I could have called it God's broadcast. The Lord's broadcast. But that would be me putting God's name on it. God said there'll be a place where I've chosen to put my name. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. So I said, you're to bring that tithe, you're to separate it, you're to bring it to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. And then number 4, God said, when you arrive with it, He said you're to set it before the Lord. They didn't pass your offering plates for those days, but they were to bring in their tithe and they literally set them on the altar or around the altar there in the temple. Today we pass the offering plate, basically the same thing. Then that dedication did this. It caused that offering to lose the identity of the giver and take upon it the identity of God and the church. That's what we do when we dedicate an offering. That check may still have your name on it, but I got news for you. It's not your money after it's put in there and dedicated to God. So God said, separate it, bring it, dedicate it. And then God said something very unusual. God said, I want you to worship. Did I hear Baptists say, me? Worship? Giving away 10% of what I just earned? I didn't say it. God did. Then I got studied about this, and I like the way you're looking at me right now. Let's keep this eyeball contact. I got to think, Brother Barrett, and I don't mean this disrespectful, but Baptists in general, if you were to take any church in America, or a bunch of churches, and you were to ask them to write down, give me what you think worship means, it would be amazing what we'd find. Now, I'm not trying to be smart, but I want to tell you this. Worship is never external. It's always internal. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And that does not begin with a capital letter. It's talking about, you see, our spirit connects with His spirit. Just like His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children. Worship is internal. Now, I want you to listen to me. Let me just do this. I wonder, have we got any Yankees in here? Don't tell me if we have. We got one back there on our fleet. You got two. Three. Y'all hang on just a minute. I'm going to make a point. You know, them Yankees, ain't every one of them knows how to talk. You ever notice that? They don't know how to talk. But now y'all stop your ears up just a moment. Sometimes we rednecks mess it up too. Wasn't that good singing? Why are you doing? I'm sitting out on the porch swinging. Well, I've been thinking. I've got your attention now. Watch me. Worship starts with thinking. And then thinking on how good God's been to you, it evolves into thanking. You can't think how good God's been to you long without starting to thank God for how good God's been to you. Amen? And then it won't be long, as Brother Ed Blue said, until it becomes eyeball deep. It goes running out your eyes, thanking God. Worship is just, God said, I want you to stop a moment. I want you to think how good I've been to you. And then you will automatically start thanking God. I promise you every Sunday morning, when you wrote your check, you write it just before you get to church. You'd get out of your automobile. Some of you would wave in a tithe check. Praising God for how good God's been for you. God said, I want you to worship. And then God said something else. He said, I want you to rejoice. That's external. And that to say, me rejoice. Giving away 10% of my income. Let me say it again. God said it, I didn't. But watch this. You know how I rejoice in tithing? And I can honestly say I rejoice in tithing. I'm glad for every dollar God's ever got from me for tithes. Yes, sir. You don't understand it. Quit looking at what you're giving away and start looking at what you keep. If God gets a dollar, I've got nine. If God gets ten, I've got 90. If God gets 100, I've got 900. I pray my tithe goes up. Yes. Yes. Amen. If you do not understand tithing, it's like trading God $1 bills for tens. You don't know the difference, and you've got some tens, see me after church. I got a pocket full of ones. We'll do some trading. I rejoice in the fact that God did not leave it up to the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm glad God didn't leave it up to the preacher, the me, and the church. How do you like to get together every year in December and decide what's going to be the going rate next year? It would not still be 10%. God established the pattern of tithing, and it still works. Any church that gets its membership tithing to that local church will have the money to do what God wants that church to do. Now, one serious statement, I'm going to move on. Listen to me. Please hear me. And some of you, according to the testimony, something you said there, some of you are young Christians. Learn this young in your life. If you're an older Christian and saved a while, I want to say this, and I want you to hear me. I do not believe you will ever prosper financially as long as you spend God's tithe. One of the first things that I say to people preaching when they come to me, and they just can't, as we'd say in Tennessee, they can't get their feet on the floor financially, they can't get settled and established financially. My first question is, are you honoring God with His tithe? You say, well, I can't afford to tithe. The honest truth is, you cannot afford not to. It's a great day when you learn God's blessings on 90% will go better than farther than God's judgment on 100%. Learn to honor God with His tithe, and God will honor you. Second, and I could spend another, above that tithe, then there are free will offerings. We categorize free will offerings into two categories. Number one, we talk about a love offering if it's for a person. We talk about a special offering generally if it's a thing. You know, a special offering gets a new organ, new piano, new carpet, things. And we got a family of men here today. We're going to give them a love offering. So you understand, and it's all really in the Bible. They're not divided. They're just called free will offerings. This is money that doesn't come out of God's 10%. Comes out of our 90. And there's no law that says you've got to give, and there's no law that says how much to give. It is you following the leadership of the Holy Spirit and giving out of your own choice. But I want to tell you something. God has a blessing for those that give in free will offerings. You can't lose by giving to God. God said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, which means piled high, then pressed down, then shaken together, and running over, shall men heap into your bosom. If God's spoon's bigger than your shovel, He will not let you outgive Him. But then the third type of giving, and that's what we're interested in today, is the type of giving that we call missions giving. Now watch me just a moment. A mission offering is money collected by the church, but not for the church. It's money collected by the church to be used by others involved in world evangelization. Here is a good principle to remember. If it's for us, it's not for missions. If it's for missions, it's not for us. I'm talking about, I speak as a local church there. And I know some churches preach, they have a printing ministry or some kind of mission work there, and they do put some money in, but that doesn't all go there. Basically, mission money is money collected by the church, but not for the church. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we have God's scripture here, God's word, on this matter of giving to meet the need of others. Now, granted, in this day, it wasn't just all mission work. It was a physical need. Poverty was in the land, and they're helping in that manner too. But the principle is set up. In verse number 1, the Bible said, now concerning the collection for the saints. That's what missions offering is. Tithes are not collected for saints, they're collected from saints. But he said, as I've given order, the word order means an established pattern. As I've given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Now, what is God's order? Notice verse number 2. God said upon the first day of the week. Now, stop a minute and look at me. That speaks of systematic giving. We have one of them every Sunday. You say, preacher, have I got to give to missions every Sunday? Well, I'm going to say this. I believe you ought to give to missions as you tithe. Get paid once a week, tithe once a week. Give to missions once a week, get paid twice. You know, twice a month, every 2 weeks. Tithe every 2 weeks. Just give to missions every 2 weeks, but give 2 weeks worth. Paid once a month, and then give to missions once a month, tithe once a month, but give a month's worth. Now, I want to say again, as long as you get it in that monthly cycle, then it will be here to go out at the first of the month or whenever the mission treasure is. You work that out with the Lord. But it ought to be. See, it's a lot more than money. It's God teaching us to be dependable. To be trustworthy. To be faithful. To be responsible. And I know all of those are about curse words in the society that we live in. Systematic giving. Well, I hear somebody saying, now, preacher, I think you ought to just give when you feel like it. You say, what's wrong with that? You don't feel like it often enough. If you're so hung up on giving when you feel like it, why don't you go to work tomorrow morning and tell your boss, man, don't worry about payday just whenever you feel like it. Hand me my check. That old dog doesn't hunt over there, does it? Systematic giving. The only way the church can send it out systematically is you bring it in systematically. Number 2, watch this. Upon the first day of the week, God said, let every one of you. Systematic giving, total involvement. Now, I've said this year before. I don't know how you explain every one of you. I don't know if I said this, and I heard this preacher, about a preacher got up and said, before I read verse 2, I want every one of you to raise your hand. All right, you can take them down. And he read verse number 2, and he said, now, you just told me who every one of you are. I didn't do that. I haven't done it, but God excuses no one. God excludes no one. God wants everybody involved in the matter of giving to missions. When I was a boy on the farm, my mama would have said it meant every one of you. I got a little more education being in the South and found that meant all y'all. I went up north and them Yankees said it means yous guys. I went to Virginia and they said it means yours. I went to Alabama and said it means every cotton picking one of you. I can't explain it. If you're one of you, God said I want you to give. Every one of you, total involvement. Now notice number three. Not only is to be systematic giving, total involvement, but number three, it's to be according as God has prospered you. Now, if I know anything about Baptists, we are professional poor mouthers. Most of you, the only reason I didn't do it, I was not home, but most of you went this morning to a closet full of nothing to wear. I was reading the other day, preacher, I'm so carnal sometimes. I was reading the other day where the Bible said, when you're praying in the closet, and I thought, my soul, you better pray before you open the door. If it's like my closet, something will fall out and break your foot. Systematic giving, total and according as God. If Baptists would give to missions as God's prospered us, then we could finance a worldwide mission program in no time. Number four, it's not on systematic giving, total involvement, but it's to be according as God's prospered you. But then number four, it's to be given to the local church and distributed by the authority of the local church. Look at verse number three. And when I come, whomsoever ye... Plural pronoun speaking to the church at Corinth. Whomsoever ye shall approve of your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. If it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now, I want you to look at me just a minute. I want to make a statement I could preach on a long time. I'm not going to. God is a local church God. Look at verse number one. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches. Missions is church business. I was preaching the other day somewhere, a fellow comes from that church, and he got talking about the lodge. And he said, we don't say it's a replacement for the church. He said, we say it's just kind of, one on the side, alongside. I said, no, wait a minute. If I remember Bible terminology, the church is the bride of Christ. Are you telling me that the Lord's got a lover on the side? He's not going to start anything else. He established the church and missions giving. Somebody said, well, preacher, as long as I give $100 to missions, it's $100. What difference does it make? Here's my answer. You remember the little lad had a little lunch, met a great big Lord, had a whole lot of leftovers? He could give that lunch to two boys. They could have ate the whole thing. His giving would have been the same. But look at the difference in the outcome. He would have missed God's multiplying process. The multitude would have got nothing and the lad would not have got back 12 baskets. For God's plan is systematic giving, total involvement, according as God has prospered you, given to the local church and distributed by the authority of the local church. And I believe I need to make this next little statement, story, and then I move on to the final part of the message this morning. I always try to stay with my kind, preacher. I'm just that way. It's my nature. I'm just not a good blender with those. But I was invited, preacher, to have breakfast with a Southern Baptist preacher. And he wanted to talk to us about this matter of missions. And so I knew him. I met with him. And when we met at the restaurant, we did not sit down at a table for two. We sat down at a big old long table. And I said, here? And he said, yes, sir. I've invited some of my friends. What I didn't know, he'd read my books and heard my tape and he believed what I was preaching, but he wanted me to share with his friends. He didn't tell me that. I thought there was a whole pool of enemies there, So after a while, here comes another Baptist preacher and one of his men, another Baptist preacher, one of his men. One of them's even a North Carolina state trooper. I like to preach to them state troopers, but anyway, don't like them preaching to me, but. We sat down, had our meal. And then he said, now tell me what you've been preaching. Tell us what you've been preaching, teaching about missions over there concerning faith. I shared what I just shared with you. We got through and a fellow across the table from me said, well, now wait a minute. He said, we give. And I'm not talking about, we give the Lottie Moon offering. We give the Annie Armstrong offering. We give North Carolina Children's Home offerings. What's wrong with that? And I looked at him. I said, you don't want me to answer that. He said, yes, I do. I looked at the fellow who was hosting the breakfast. I want to be a gentleman. He said, tell us. I'm not a smart aleck, and I don't want you to take this as a smart aleck attitude.
Right.
I said to him, why would you want to take a mission offering once a year in the name of a dead woman when the Bible said take one every Lord's Day in the name of a living Lord? And I didn't mean it to be mean. I'm telling you, brother, it's just like, case closed. I said all that to say this. God don't have any options. He don't have a plan B. That is God's plan. Systematic giving, total involvement, according as God's prospered you, given to the local church and distributed by the authority of the local church. Now, I want you to take the card you have in your hand, and I want you to get a hold of it. Where's them at, preacher? Let me get one in my hand. I know them things, but let me have one. I'm up here in my hand. Look at the front side of the card, if you will, please, and let me make one or two statements before we start reading. Look it back at me after you get your card in your hand. The tithe is fixed. It's 10%. I don't care if you make $20, you make $2,000 or $10,000. The first 10% belongs to God. Can I get an amen right there?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Nobody had to pray this morning. Oh, God, what's my tithe today? You figure it out. Now, watch this. Free will offerings fluctuate. Can I use Tennessee language? I throwed in a dollar. I throwed in a five. I throwed in a ten. You understand that, don't you? We call it throwing it in. I put in. Does that sound better? I put in a dollar, put in a five, put in a ten, I put in a 20, I put in a 100. I've written checks. There are three things usually come involved in the free will offer. Number one, the size of the need. Number two, how much I love that need. Number three, how much I can give to that need. But then you come to the mission offering, and it is to be done by faith. Tithe is fixed, mission offerings fluctuate, but the free will offerings fluctuate, but the mission offerings be done by faith.
Right.
Now again, I want to tell you, if it's going to be a faith, you've got to get God in on it. You have got to ask God to speak to your heart about what God wants you. Faith is no more than an obedient yes to what God says in your life. Now, I want to make this other statement. I know I've done this before, but I want to do it again. I'm looking around just a moment. Several years ago, I asked the Lord to show me, give me something on the matter of faith promise giving to missions. I checked in an hotel room, and I looked up at a shower head. Had a little bigger head than that on you. I had the silliest thought. I thought, man, that thing won't hold half a cup of water. And when you weigh 200 on your business pounds like several of us do, it's hard to get a shower out of a half a cup of water. I turned that thing on, the water came and come and come and came, and finally I shut it off, looked at it, and I thought, I didn't think you had it in you. But then I realized it was not what the shower head could do, it's what it's connected to behind the scene. Don't miss this statement. Preacher said it earlier, somebody said it earlier. God will give through you what He will not give to you. God has no problem getting it to us if He can get it through us. But I'm simply saying to you, faith promise giving is you letting God give through you. Read the front side of the card with me, please. In dependence upon God, that alone makes it not a pledge, but a faith promise commitment. In dependence upon God, I will endeavor to give above my regular tithes and offerings to the worldwide missionary outreach of our church the amount circled at right for the coming year. Choose what you will give weekly and circle the listed amount. Your faith promises that you will give this amount regularly through your church during the coming year as the Lord enables you. You will not be asked for it. It is your voluntary investment in the Lord's work. If you're not able to pay it, just tell God. No name, no address, no phone number, nobody's business. It's between you and God. I make one statement. God knows if He provided it and you spent it somewhere else. Of course, the figures, Pastor will go with these, filling them out on the right-hand side. But flip the card to the back just a moment. What is faith promise investment? Let me tell you why I call it investment instead of giving. How do you give the God that owns everything anything? Four times the Bible said Hannah loaned Samuel to the Lord. What is faith promise investment? I take that verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 7. It's on the bottom of the card on the front side. If you want to turn your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter number, it's chapter number 9, rather, verses number 7 and verse number 8, actually, if you want to look at it. But you don't have to. You've known it. You've heard it before. But what is faith promise giving? First of all, it is personal giving. Some are turning, and that's fine. Take time if you want to turn. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. The Bible said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now watch me just a moment. Number one, faith promise giving is personal giving. Every man. Every individual. Pastor, as much as I respect your position as pastor, you don't have the right. Can I use that word to go around telling the people what to give? I know you wouldn't practice that, but I'm just simply saying, don't go to pastor and say, what am I supposed to give? That's not the place to get the information. You cannot draw up a financial chart and say, if you make X dollars, you give X dollars. It don't work that way. It's personal. That means two things. Number one, you have the opportunity. But number two, you have the responsibility to get before the God of heaven and say, Lord, lay on my heart. Speak to my heart. Some of you still wonder what this man of God means when he gets up and said, the Lord laid on my heart. Here's a good opportunity to find out what it means. Get in a closet place somewhere, get alone with God, pray, Lord, lay on my heart. I promise you, God will put a figure, can I say it, on your heart, in your mind, wherever you want me to say it, but God will do that. It's personal giving. He'll tell you what he wants you to give. Number two, it's plan giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. We don't use that phrase, purpose in our heart, in our secular English, conversation. Here's something close by, and it's a long way from it, but you can't get somebody to give you a straight answer, and they do this, that, and this, and that. Then you say, well, make up your mind.
Right.
Well, that's mind. God deals with the heart.
Yeah.
So here's what it is. I pray, God lays it on my heart, and I purpose in my heart this way. God, you told me to do it, and I'm going to do it because you put it on my heart to do so. Settle. God told me to do it, so not to do it would be sin. Number three, it's to be personal giving, plan giving, then persistent giving, so let him give. Do what God told you to do. And then do what God told you to do. And then do what God told you to do. Don't do it and don't do it and don't do it and do it and do it. Don't up and down, in and out. Don't stop. Do it. And here's another good thing I really like about faith promise giving. You don't have to match or equal what somebody else is doing. Ma'am, would that be your son sitting beside you right there? Is that your... But all right, let me... Okay, I usually get the wrong woman and man married before I get through, but I'm just a woman and a boy here now. Let me use you two just a moment. I'm going to say to this lady, here's a gallon container. I'm going to say to the big man there, here's a pint. He don't know what a pint is. You know what a pint is? Two half pints, isn't it? You've got it figured out. I give him a pint, and I say to him and to them, there's a sand pile out back. Fill these two containers with sand. She comes back in here carrying her gallon. He comes back in here carrying his pint. In reality, she's got 8 times as much sand as he's got. But that little fellow can stand up here with his pint just as proud as she can her gallon, look me in the face and say, I've done exactly what you told me to do. God tells some person, and I'm not going to put any description on that. He tells somebody $2 a week. He may tell somebody else $40 a week. Remember, you said that's unfair. No, God's going to supply it. He just knows where we're at in that level of faith.
Right.
Whatever God tells you to do, He'll provide it, and you do it. And whether little or small, you're no bigger than nobody else, and you're no less than nobody else. Do what God told you to do. Number four, watch this. Personal giving, plan giving, persistent giving, positive giving, not grudgingly.
Amen.
Or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Somebody said, well, that leaves me out. No, you better reread that. You know, cheerful giving is not normal. I just picked this up not long ago, preacher. I remember we grew up on the Conasauga River down there. And you know what my mama used to say to us boys, there's three of us boys. She'd say, boys, stay out of that water till you learn to swim. Yeah. You don't learn to swim in a plowed field.
Right.
You said, well, how do I learn to be a cheerful giver? Start giving. I've never driven. I never drove through a town and saw some guy down on the street corner $100 bills. Have a hundred. Boy, I'm having a time giving away. That's not normal. Normal is to make a dollar and turn around and count, you know, and smile while you count. But you start doing what God told you to do, and there's that good feeling of just knowing you obeyed God. Read the prayer letters as they come in and see what you've invested in. And you can come to the place that you do become a cheerful giver. And watch this fifth thing. Personal giving, planned giving, persistent giving, positive giving. Look at verse number 5. Preacher, I've been preaching this now 30 years, last January. I've been preaching mission meetings just like this. This verse still blows my mind after preaching it 30 years. Look at verse number 8. Chapter number 9, verse number 8. And God is able. You can preach a long time on, you can preach a whole message, preach on God is. You can come back Sunday night and preach on God's able. But now watch the rest of this verse. God is able to make all grace. Can I stop a minute? Look at me just a second. Let's do a little up and down here, and then we'll get through. God is able. I wonder how much grace is all grace. I wonder. How much grace is all? He giveth more grace. But watch this next step. He's able to make all grace abound. That's overflow. But next two words said, toward you. Put your name there. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Why? Watch this. That you always... I wonder how much of the time that is.
Yeah.
That you always, look at the next statement, having all sufficiency. I wonder how much sufficiency that is. Look at the next phrase, in all things.
Yeah.
And the next phrase said, may abound, that's overflow again, of the every, or all good works.
Yes.
Now, folks, I want to tell you, all I can say to you is, that verse simply teaches God's spoon's bigger than your shovel. God will not let you outgive Him. Preacher, if I know anything from giving by faith, God not only will supply the need of your mission's commitment, but every once in a while He'll kick a handful of purpose off in your lap as just to say, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you being obedient. I appreciate you doing what I told you to do. So it's personal giving, planned giving, persistent giving. It's positive giving. And then it's proving giving. As we give out, God proves He's able to take care of our needs. Now, watch me, and I close with this. Tithe is fixed. 10% belongs to God. Separate it, bring it to church, dedicate it to God. Do it in the spirit of worship, do it in the spirit of thanksgiving. Free will offerings fluctuate. But the mission offering is to be done by faith. So we must ask God personally. Lay on my heart what you want me to do. And when God does, start doing it. And you watch God provide for you as you provide for the missionary. God is no hobo. You don't have to beg God for mission money. He wants the world to hear the gospel. But He wants to give it through those of us that will trust Him to do so. Now, many of you have given, and I hope you'll pray about an increase. Many of you are giving, I should say. Hope you'll pray about an increase. Many of you have given, but I shouldn't say many. Some of you probably have given, but have stopped for some reason. You say, what'd I do, preacher? Start again. Some of you have never given. You say, what'd I do? Ask God to lay on your heart the amount He wants you to give.
Amen.
We don't expect you to start where I'm at or the pastor's at now. We didn't start there. Ask God to lay on your heart. In fact, if you look across the page at verse number 13, God even uses the word experiment. Try it and see if it works. God said, give me a chance. Prove I can take care of your need as you take care of the need of the missionary. You said, well, preacher, why do we have a missions meeting every year? I close with this carnal illustration, but I hope you get a spiritual message out of it. My wife and I have a daughter, then a son, then another daughter. Some of you right here today will identify very quickly what I'm fixing to speak about. You'll remember it with your son. Our son David probably got about 12, 13 years old, and we'd buy him pants, and they'd about be dragging the floor. It wouldn't be 3 months, you know, hit that growing spurt. And I said, Mama, them pants is drawing up. She said, No, Daddy, the boy's growing up. Yeah. You know what we did? We went and bought him some more pants. But we didn't buy the same size. See, Hannah gave a coat every year to Samuel. But you know what she discovered? Last year's coat wasn't big enough for this year's child. So faith promised time every year in August is time to look and see if our faith has grown. You took on a faith promise last year and it was dragging the ground, you know, but through the year God's blessed and preachers have preached and you saw God's supply and maybe not even aware of it, your faith has increased. It's a chance for you to see what size fits your faith for the next year. Let's stand together, heads about, eyes are closed, please.